The Waffle Houses have closed. Here I am, rock you like a hurricane, Ian. Log out, schmog out. These stories and much more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
This episode is presented by OIT VoIP's OIT Ready program. Since 2019, OIT Ready has been helping both businesses and individuals with free temporary voice services for those affected by a natural disaster. This program is not only for OIT customers, but for any person or business affected by these events. To apply for assistance or request more information, visit oit.co/OIT Ready.
Good morning and welcome to the September 30th episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm Ray Rossini, and joined as always by my co-host, and not flown away yet, Mr. Tony Francisco. How you doing, Tony?
Good. So everyone's watching this, which means I'm probably still alive, which is good. There's a lot of things happening right now. There's a hurricane happening. There's recording in the background, so there's behind-the-scenes stuff. There's new behind-the-scenes of behind-the-scenes coming from your mind. A lot of things happening, but it's great to be
so
here.
So much BTS.
This is my natural, what did I call it? The state of my, what's my state?
Your natural desired state configuration.
My desired state configuration is here with you, the people.
So this is an amazing episode for many reasons. It's special because A, every one of our stories was recommended by the wonderful members of our Discord, links below. B, we're recording this super early because we're trying to take advantage of existing electricity, internet, and everything else we need to do this before Ian hits. So thank you for prioritizing dispatch over the life and safety of your loved ones. We appreciate you. C, we just had some phenomenalness, and yes, I'm copywriting that word, phenomenalness in space. We've talked about Microsoft Dart. We'll talk about the Kaseya Dart. But have you seen the NASA dart?
Too many darts. First off, if there's a dart in space, that's a major issue, depending on your perspective. Tell me about it.
So NASA's dart is their double asteroid redirection test. It's a NASA space mission aimed at testing a method of planetary defense against near-Earth objects. These are a lot of words to say they're throwing something at an asteroid to make it go off track before it hits Earth. Not that an asteroid is coming to hit Earth right now, that they've told us, but this is their plan. Basically, they're playing space pinball. Simon, can you bring up the Google search for NASA DART? Because, of course, in true Google fashion, they did something awesome. So if you Google the words NASA DART, you see, there you go, the little space station fly across and hit an asteroid. I love it. So pinballs in space. I mean, is that cool or what?
I don't know. How dare them try to be prepared for something like that? That's incredible. You know,
I'm just saying, if you're not feeling the power between your legs riding a rocket, what's the point?
With that, let's get into the news.
Let's do it. In our top story, more darts. Kaseya's DRT response, their disaster recovery team, is out in full force in Orlando. As reported by Dan Tomaszewski, Kaseya's special vice president of channel and community, and posted on Everything MSP Facebook group, link below. Kaseya's, formerly known as Datto's disaster recovery team, is out in full force in Orlando. Since 2019, Datto has been deploying their disaster recovery team in areas of natural disasters. The truck is stocked with DNAs, access points, switches, hardware, and safety equipment to help assist you and the local community. As any natural event occurs, they go out, they help businesses get up and running. They do not have to be existing Datto customers. And little known fact, that was actually seeing that when they started doing this under the Datto brand, that was the impetus to start OIT Ready's program. It's good after the Kaseya acquisition that Kaseya has taken over the program. It's nice to see that they're actually continuing these efforts and out there in the community trying to do their best. Tony, I know you're in Tampa, not Orlando, so you don't have access to the Kaseya Dart. But you know, what do you think of an initiative like this? A vendor proactively going out and, you know, being there to help.
I've said this from the beginning. How dare them actually try to be proactive? NASA. First it's Datto. Now it's NASA. Next thing you know, government. Who do these people think they are wanting to be proactive and solve a solution before the problem actually arises, even though there's an eventuality to this? In all seriousness, it makes me happy. The fact that they've not only implemented it proactively, but they've stuck with that particular construct of safety first. We have to be prepared. The concept of, hey, this serves the MSP community as a whole. The betterment of everything that we work for is going to occur because of this. And let's be honest, enormous player in the market jumping in with a disaster recovery team ready to assist. Now, the question really comes into play, is this going to be that 311 style scenario where we could just call them for everything? Hey, is the power turned on my computer? I don't know what's going on. What is the level of engagement they're willing to exercise this new DART program for? And how long are they going to keep it? Is it going to be a 3-5 year? Is it going to be the keystone to an avalanche of activity from other vendors? Or is it going to be just checking the marketing box that, yeah, we have a DART too?
So it's interesting because this started, as far as I could tell, this started back with Hurricane Dorian in Atlanta. And that was the first instance I saw Datto going out and doing this. My understanding is they keep the businesses up and running for a minimal, moderate, whatever happens to be period of time. I understand that while the trucks are out there, it's the MSPs themselves actually go and request assistance. Maybe we'll get Dan Tomaszewski to come on and give us a little more insight into it because it's an interesting program. We'll do it after Ian has occurred because they're busy right now. They're, you know, but we want to let them do the important stuff. You can't get waffles at Waffle House, so you might as well let the Kaseya people do their jobs. But, you know, it's nice to see this. I've talked in the past about MSPs potentially protecting their ecosystem. We're seeing vendors protect the ecosystem, too, being proactive. This seems to me like a very smart play in terms of protecting the ecosystem as a whole. It's not only just a matter of saying, do what we say to do and go do this stuff, but it's the actual vendor stepping in and stepping up in many cases saying, hey, we're in this with you. We'll get in the trenches. We'll get this done. And yes, it's a PR move. It's no different than the Truly Nolan, you know, little mouse cars driving around. But if it helps them, it helps you as the MSP and it helps the community, I'm all for it. PR doesn't mean bad. As long as they're doing some good along with it, I'm all for it. I would love to hear, I've never talked to an MSP that's taken advantage of this. So if you're an MSP that's done this before or taken advantage of the program in the last 3 years, let us know in the comments. I'd love to hear a firsthand account. I'll ask Dan Tomaszewski also. We'll tag him on this and see if he can give us any insight on it. But anybody that's done it, we want to know. You know. And then speaking of natural disaster, Tony, you're our guy on the streets. You're our what's his name? Cantori. You're
don't Cantori. Say his name. Don't say his name out loud.
But you know, there's an article you're going to cover that talks about. This is the big one. This is the one to watch. Why don't you give us that story?
Absolutely. In ArsTechnica.com, there's a story by Eric Berger. It says, as a meteorologist, Hurricane Ian is the nightmare storm I worry about most. As a forecaster, you worry about three primary threats from hurricanes: strong winds, storm surge, and inland rainfall. Hurricane Ian has undergone a remarkable period of intensification during the last 24 hours. After crossing the western end of Cuba and knocking out that island's national power grid, Ian started to weaken a bit on Tuesday following this brief interaction with land. Following this cycle, by sunrise Wednesday morning, Ian was larger and more powerful than ever before with 155 mile an hour winds, as the intensity would become the fifth most powerful hurricane to strike the United States in more than 150 years of record when it slams into southwest Florida coast later today, likely to hit Fort Myers at this point. Usually, a hurricane brings one or two of these threats to a region, but not typically all three. For example, in Houston, during my lifetime here, that's per the article author, we have seen an extreme rainfall from Hurricane Harvey in 2017 and a powerful storm surge from Hurricane Ike in 2008, but Harvey didn't really bring the serious wind or surge to the Houston area. And while Ike had some damaging winds, most of the city did not see hurricane force conditions. Ian is a monster that will bring all three threats to Southwest Florida with devastating effect. This article hit home for me, and I mean that in a literal sense. outside right now, there are major, major winds hitting. I don't suspect that we will have power for another maybe 4 or 5 hours. If you look at the map, the entire state of Florida is pretty much covered at this point, and it's approaching a Category 5 quickly. We hope it will slow down, but we do know for certainty that it will hit with a Category 4 intensity just around Fort Myers up to Brandon on the west coast of Florida. I personally am streaming live because I have a lot of friends that are asking me to help out. I have every single one of my neighbors' keys and garage door openers sitting on my desk because they're asking me to watch over their house because they left. Ironically, they left to Orlando, which is now getting hit harder, which is comical in a bad way. But this is something that I want to talk about with the MSP world. We just got to finish. We just finished talking about NASA and their DART. We finished talking about Kaseya, Datto and their DART disaster recovery teams. MSPs, this is your time. Why don't you have a DART program running? Why don't you talk about natural disasters that are going to occur? This is the time to talk about it, not speculating at a later time about a potential earthquake, about a potential tornado, about a potential flood, about a potential hurricane. Not speculate. This is the time. Everyone will taste it, especially in the Southeast region. So, Ray, what are your thoughts? Am I mixing the messages up? Is this too sensitive? Is it too soon?
No, I mean, we were just talking about this in a vendor Slack where, you know, I went off, me, soapbox, what a surprise. I went off and we're talking about business plans and how most MSPs don't have business plans. And, you know, talking about the right way to scale versus the wrong way to scale and, you know, and all this fun stuff. You know, and my input was all of it. It is the vendor equivalent of, what is my PSA or what RMM should I use? Why? Because if you're focusing on the what, you're not focusing on the why. It's a cyclical conversation. It's absolutely pointless. There's no reason to it. If you look at go and say, okay, well, I have a business plan and you know, you have a goal, you have your exit, and then everything else is in service of that, then you can help. All of that to go about to say, I know you're saying, okay, well, what the hell does that have to do with Hurricane Ian? And I'll bring it back. It has to do with what goals are you trying to serve? If you're trying to serve awareness in your community, you're trying to serve, you know, helping others stay resilient and you're trying to bring business into your, you know, bring others into your business, then follow the case of the vendors because vendors usually do start out with a business plan. Vendors usually do start out with these things and learn from what the vendors are doing and then apply it to your own business. No different than I took the Datto DART program or Kaseya DART program as it is now, and I turn it into a program for us, for MSPs and for the general public. You can do the same thing at a minor scale. It doesn't affect you in a negative fashion. It puts you in a public light. I just got finished saying PR is not bad. If you're doing a service of good, PR is not bad. But it's up to the MSP to sit there and take the torch, right? The vendors are telling you how to do it. MSPs, go ahead and do it. And I know that was a big roundabout way to get to the point, but I think it holds true. Tony, did I make sense, or did I just go off on a tangent?
No, I think it resonates with everyone, and it really depends on your perspective. At the end of the day, this is the time, people. There are a lot of people that are really hurting from this particular process that's occurring. You need to talk to your customers and talk to them now. Rain's picking up. We should probably talk about the other parts of the news. What is the next story? I hear there's something about logging in, logging out, knocking on doors. Talk to me.
So we really don't need to log out. It's not that big of a deal. No, seriously speaking, our third top story is Twitter failed to log out devices after a password reset. As reported by Sergio Gatlan of bleepingcomputer.com, recently Twitter logged out some users after addressing a bug that did not log out users from all devices after a voluntary password reset. Accounts have failed to log out because of the bug, risked being accessed by people who use the same device. To remedy this, Twitter reached out to affected users and logged them out of all active sessions across all devices. This is a common practice when resetting your password is to log out of all devices, so they have to obtain new credentials to further protect your account. The company added that despite the inconvenience caused, it was necessary to keep the account safe. Twitter was hit by a data breach in July after threat actors put up for sale a database of phone numbers and email addresses linked to 5.4 million stolen Twitter accounts. In August, the company confirmed the reports that the threat actor used a zero-day vulnerability patch in January to collect the private information. And since July, hacked accounts have been used to send fake suspension messages to try to steal verified user info. Tony, this is one of those that we talk about. We talk many times about security vulnerabilities, zero days, RCEs, and all that fun stuff that you can't do anything about. This is one you can. This is one when you reset your password, you can look at your device and say, is it forcing me to log in again? And if not, that's a concern. That is something you can verify for yourself. So while most people won't do it, I'm saying this specifically out loud so that some people do. It's nice to know that they proactively reached out and said, hey, we reset all your accounts. That's cool. But, you know, is it enough? Should we have done more? Does this affect you? It's Twitter. Who cares?
So maybe I'm mistaking something. So just to be clear, you change your password, but Twitter failed to log you out of the other devices that are still using. So the session is established. So for the normal people out there, the way this occurs is you have a source and a destination, and you're trying to achieve a connection. So what happens is you're trying to establish a session, and the session before it completes has to authenticate, which username and password typically. Once that username and password says, oh, we will now continue the session to be established. In a lot of cases, and this is a major, major Microsoft flaw, in my opinion, with their new modern authentication format, is that once the session is established, you can change the password 50 different times. The session's already there. They don't need to ask who you are because it's already there. The right way to do this is to change the password and terminate all existing sessions from point A to point B. Now, what that means is that if you did not take that particular option, everybody who authenticated with the password you're trying to change stays authenticated. It doesn't matter. And in the Microsoft world, what that results in is, let's say, a key member in your organization who has Office 365. They've already authenticated on their home computer. They've been terminated. They depart. That session typically lasts about 3 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, which means they have, even though you've changed their password, they have complete access to everything they had access to before until you change that token or until that session expires. What happened in this particular case is that Twitter did not do that. And Ray talked about best practices of changing your password. You have the ability to do that. That's great if the vendor supports killing the rest of the devices. And maybe you don't even know about all the devices that are attached, which is probably one of the reasons you're changing the password to begin with. So sorry, Ray, I'm extremely passionate about this. You and I talk about this all the time on the back end. I think this is a big thing, but it sounds like they kind of fessed up and said, hey, we didn't do that. I'm wondering what the resolve was on that. Did I go too far on that? I feel like I'm getting on my soapbox.
No,
as well,
I think you're on the money. It's not a... You know, it's a smart thing. You don't, so to dial it down for the normies, as you know, the normies, the normies, you know, it's tantamount to changing the locks on your front door of your house. You're going to change the rest of the locks in your house, not just the front door. Security is the same thing. It's easier to visualize. I have one key for my house. I should change all the locks. You don't think when I change my password, I should log out of everywhere else. I do this pretty regularly because I'm the guy that I will lock my door, then I'll forget if I locked my door, despite that I have the same routine over and over and over again. So I'll go to a VRBO or I'll go to rent a house or whatever, and I'll log into Vudu. I'll log into Disney Plus. I got to get my Andor in, right, or my She-Hulk. So I'll do that, and then even though I will log out when I get there or before I leave, when I get home, I will reset my password and log out of all my sessions again, just because I'm that kind of OCD. It sounds like a lot. It's really not. It takes 2 or 3 minutes per whatever you do. You know, it's not that hard to do, but it's easy to forget. Okay, yeah, I did log into YouTube on my cell phone or on my TV or on my laptop or in the car or wherever else. And you forget you're logged in everywhere. And to this day, YouTube still won't show you where all your devices are logged into. It drives me freaking nuts.
But oh, that makes me crazy.
That's a different conversation. It'll tell you it's logged in somewhere else. It just won't tell you where. So you have kids, you know. So, but let's get into the notables. Why don't we?
In our first notable mention, techdirt.com, a story about Meta being sued for tap dancing around Apple's new app privacy rules. Last year, Apple received ample coverage about how the company was making privacy easier for its customers by introducing a new, simple tracking opt-out button for users as part of iOS 14.5 update. Advertisers, mostly Facebook, cried about not being able to achieve the volumes of information and have the control over the data collection that they monetized, meaning it was less money for them. About a year ago, research began to notice that Apple's opt-out system only really blocked app makers from accessing one bit of data, your phone's ID for advertisers, or IDFA. There were numerous other ways for companies to ignore Apple's changes and track users anyway, so they quickly got to work on doing exactly that. It was then discovered that Facebook was getting around Apple's system by directing any link a user clicks on in the Apple Facebook app to a new in-app browser window where Meta was able to inject code. As a result, Meta is now facing two different class action lawsuits accusing it of violating state and federal laws, including the Wiretap Act, the California Invasion of Privacy Act, and the California violation of the unfair competition law. More coming on this soon. We're excited to see where this goes. We think this will have a national ramification. In our next notable mention, bleepingcomputer.com talks about crypto miners hijacking $53 worth of system resources to earn $1. Security researchers estimate that the financial impact of crypto miners infecting cloud servers costs victims about $53 for every $1 worth of cryptocurrency the threat actors mine on hijacked devices. There are many possible configurations to increase that cost of an EC2 instance, such as adding additional RAM or storage, but $11,000 is the median cost for many different tested configurations. The threat actors load a modified operating system image, OS, and the mining programs use that hacked device's CPU, so the threat actors generate income by hijacking hardware. The financial damage estimation does not consider amounts on unknown older wallets, the hardware damage impacting the server owner, potential online service interruptions caused by hogging processing power and the resulting business disruption, or the strategic changes firms had to make in order to sustain excessive cloud bills.
In our feedback from the YouTubes, DisJoss23 says, emoji reactions for emails? Come on. This meeting could have been an email. Is now, this meeting could have been a Teams message. I don't disagree with that. Emoji reacts for Teams. Leave them out of email. I get enough as it is. I agree. I'd love to see some Giphy responses. Who doesn't love a dancing, you know, red panda or whatever? Yes, I love red pandas. All right. We got community events. Tony, what do we got coming up, man?
We have several community events. On October 4th at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the MSP Dispatch presented by the MSP Media Network. On October 3rd through the 6th, an in-person event, UGM in Miami, Florida. On October 4th through the 7th, another in-person event, Vision 2022 in Dallas, Texas. On October 6th and the 7th, another in-person event, ASCII Success Cup, Dallas, Texas. On October 7th at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the MSP Dispatch weekly wrap-up presented by the MSP Media Network. And finally, on October 7th at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 38 at 38, featuring Tony Francisco. I'm going to be in that. That's amazing.
Hi, I'm Aaron, and I'm a jobaholic. We all have something in common. we all have a worst job story. Each episode, I'll welcome one guest to share their most insane worst job story. And in return, I'll share one of mine. Join me the first Friday of every month for new episodes of 38 at 38.
So how'd you like today's show? If you liked it, hit the thumbs up button. If you didn't, go ahead and hit it twice. And if you want to hear more, go ahead and hit that subscribe button on YouTube or your favorite podcatcher. And we're not just saying this because Tony is risking life and limb to do the show for you. The least you can do is subscribe. Did you know we also have a Discord where we post stories all week and sometimes get the stories for these shows? You can pose your own stories and vote on which ones we'll cover. The link is below. As my friend Rich Banky says, make sure to tell a friend or follow us on social at MSP Media TV. Have any questions? Email news at mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode or leave us a voicemail 833-MSP-Network. Tony, Microsoft Dart, Kaseya Dart, no lawn darts, but we're going to dart. I think we're done for today. Thanks so much. We appreciate you. Be safe, man. Take care of yourself.
Everyone be safe out there. Please, please, please be safe.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
The Waffle Houses have closed. Here I am, rock you like a hurricane, Ian. Log out, schmog out. These stories and much more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
That was phenomenal, but I had the wrong banner up, so I'm sorry.
I love the that was phenomenal. I was like, oh no, I know where this is going.
The joys of live. All right, Tony, have the local recording on.
Local recording is on. I'm fleek. Right, I'm cool. On fleek.
All right, all accounts that failed to log out because the bug risk was accessed by blah, 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 blah. Oh, we needed a blooper. This is a common practice among security. Trying to say words.
Oh, no. No. I think I died.
We see a background there.
Okay, hold on. That was a power outage. So for everyone out there, that was a power outage mid-podcast. So we got to hurry up. You can hear me, right?
I can hear you, yes.
The financial damage estimates we have several community events on. Mute. You are.
I did.
Mute.
There we go. Mute. All right.
Feels like. Wait, do I have to? Oh, wait, I got to get my fleek on. Hold on. I got to get my. my fleek. Hold on. So for everyone to understand, what's fleek? Does anyone know what fleek is? You got to get your eyebrows on fleek. Am I saying that right?
So there's four people watching this. Who the hell is watching this besides us?
I don't know.
See, now I'm jealous. Now I'm going to set up a fucking tripod with my shit too.
Okay.
All right, so this is Ray Rossini on MSP Dispatch. As we're recording MSP Dispatch, as we're looking at Tony in the background recording MSP
Dispatch. This is Malkovich.
Because I will not be outdone.